Our reading this evening is from the Old Testament and in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to read verses 1 through to 27. The book of Deuteronomy, and reading from the beginning of that chapter. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban, and Hazeroth, and Izahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Sihon the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Ashtaroth in Edrei, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, and to the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I speak unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And he answered me and said, The thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, Hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with you. Ye shall not respect persons in your judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I command you at that time all the things which ye should do. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, Ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God hath given unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, It is a good land, which the Lord our God doth give us. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. Psalm 91, as we continue our worship, speaking of the confidence and the protection which the Lord gives to his people. Psalm 91 from the beginning. He that doth in the secret place of the Most High reside, under the shade of him that is the Almighty shall abide. There are many layers of protection round about us as a society. There are layers of protection about us individually in daily life. But the one, the best, the only true substantial protection is that which is spoken of here. I of the Lord my God will say, He is my refuge still. He is my fortress and my God, and in Him trust I will. Assuredly He shall thee save and give deliverance from subtle foul or snare and from the noisome pestilence. His feather shall thee hide, thy trust under His wing shall be. His faithfulness shall be a shield and buckler unto thee. Thou shalt not need to be afraid for terrors of the night, nor for the arrow that doth fly by day, while it is light. These five stanzas of Psalm 91 then, He that doth in the secret place. Taking these words that we have just been singing, and the sentiment they contain, I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 41. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 41, and we break in to read a few verses from 10 through to 14. With the words then of 91 ringing in our minds still, let us read further the word of God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Over these past days, we have all been conscious of the Lord's voice speaking to us and his blessings coming upon our soul. The blessings that have come to us as a congregation. We have heard God's word speaking of the scale and the scope of his love to us in Christ while we were yet sinners, Christ dying for his people. We heard of the robust and of the reliable gospel of salvation that Jesus achieved and accomplished on that cross. Lacking nothing, there is no weakness that can be exploited in it or from it, neither is any shortfall that would make it invalid. That's the gospel that has been obtained through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross. And it was death that we were thinking of last night, of three persons on each of cross. And how vital this gospel is as we, you and I, face death. Because it is only this gospel that will remove fear and replace it with peace. So now tonight, we all go our separate ways. And as we do so, there is one further word from the Lord that he brings to us in these verses we have read together. These moments that we've been together, they have been times of blessing. We've enjoyed fellowship. they are in one sense precious to God's people because they are a foretaste of the glory to come. Precious in other ways because we read there and are taught of the Lord Jesus Christ. Precious for the encouragement that he gives to us. But now we go on, we have to live our life in a society where there is no sympathy for our Christian position. We mix with people who have no relationship with the Lord as we might have. We are living as strangers and pilgrims. We are living in a hostile environment. We are battling for the continuing Christian life that we know to sustain its vitality, its joy, its foundation in the midst of the pressures bearing down upon us in society today. How then are we going to cope? What are we going to do? How are we going to react? We are alone. We will be apart. We know not what the future might bring. We know not what is in store for any one of us. There may be dark clouds to come. We may have a heavy burden to carry. We all of us have a fearful responsibility to discharge. Temptations will come with increased power from time to time, and there will always be the sustained opposition of the devil in so many different colors and so many different cloaks, trying to thwart us, spoil us, or rob us of the blessings we've had and are yet in prospect for us. These times, just as we heard last night from David in his testimony, these times can be times of testing and times of discovery, when we are absolutely at a loss with our own resources and there is nowhere we can go and no one we can turn to but to the Lord. And we discover then that it is no vain thing so to do. In that kind of situation, each one of us going our own way tonight, there is from time to time, and it's an experience which comes often to God's people, the one that is addressed in these words, our reading this evening and in some of the songs we have been singing. The way in which the burden of life and the cup of life can sometimes leave us being afraid. The Lord recognizes that and he sees it in his own people, because one of the most often repeated phrases is the very one that is before us three times in these few verses that we've read together. The Lord saying it time after time after time to us and to them, fear not, fear not, fear not. He recognizes that as an experience that comes upon God's people, and therefore he deals with it often, and he deals with it very, very pointedly and powerfully. We are told here, don't be afraid. And he says, and he lays down powerful arguments in support of what he's setting before us. For it is the desire of the Lord that every one of his people, that those who trust in him, if we're doing that today, tonight, it is the desire and intent of the Lord that we walk in the joy of our faith, in the company of our Lord, that we enjoy and experience the blessings that he brings of peace and of quietness, and of especially the pardon and the forgiveness of our sins. And anything that threatens that experience or to deprive God's people of these blessings, anything is addressed severely, and strong arguments are deployed to banish it from the Christian's life. If you go forward just a few chapters to chapter 43, there we are told, when thou passest through the fire, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. All of these are the assurances that God gives to his people, and he backs it up with one important, vital argument. How is all that going to happen, even although they're going through hard and difficult times like fire and water? God says, I am the Lord thy God. I am thy Savior. Just look at the commitment the Lord has made and given. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Because why? Because you were precious to me. Wave upon wave upon wave given to us there in Isaiah chapter 43 to address the same experience that is identified here in Isaiah 41. When we go through hard and difficult times, times of testing but also times of discovery, we find that the Lord is more than able, more than equal to all the demands that we face and have to go through. No fear, no anxiety, no emotion is beyond God's control. He has redeemed, we are told. He has called. His people belong to him and to no one else. There's this. We go back to John chapter 17, verse 4. There is this involvement of the Lord with his people. Thine they were, and thou didst give them to the Son. And for the Son, he died upon the cross to redeem. There's that commitment, that involvement from all eternity in the good, the well-being and survival of his own. And these are strong arguments that both give strength and comfort to every Christian as we deploy them. So no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, no matter what is waiting for us as we go our separate ways tonight, let's listen to what the Lord is saying to us here. The foundation on which it is built and the consequences which come from them. And the first thing I wanted to simply think about is the command that is given here, first of all. God says, fear thou not. And the background to it in the days of Isaiah is quite simple to look at and to glean from just simply the earlier verses. We didn't read them, but you can go back and read them, the first five verses or so of this chapter. The Assyrian nation from the east was on the warpath. And they were going to come and they were going to sweep nation after nation up as they made their way forward. And they cast a dark shadow over that land in these days. But even although they were on the warpath, and even although they were confident in their own resources, nevertheless the authority and the rule of the world's events remains still with God. That's what we've got in verse 4 of this chapter. Who hath wrought it? Who's done this? Who's done it? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. These things that are befalling them, the things that are befalling us, casting a dark shadow over them, we always have to remind ourselves that they are nevertheless underneath the hand of God. And what happens to these people, other nations, when this shadow of the Assyrians comes over them? What did they do? The islands saw it and they were afraid. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, good courage. And the carpenter went out and they made idols. What did they do? They tried to strengthen and to encourage each other, putting a hand round the shoulder as the shadow came and says, don't worry, something's going to happen. Something might happen. And they tried to talk each other up. We're told that they drew near, but they didn't draw near to God. But instead they were driven to their idols and to seek comfort, deliverance, safety from these idols. But again, we're told how futile exercise that is. How futile it is in the light of what we just read in verse 4. Because the events of history and the events of the present the events of the small scale and on a global scale, all of these things are in the hands of God. And that's the comfort is given to his people then and to us now. In the midst of such mighty events, in the midst of such amazing unfolding on the pages of history, God's people are not to be overwhelmed. We are God's, we are told in verse 8, but thou Israel art my servant, the possession, God's people, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Wave after wave again set out, preparing us for what he's going to say in this verse 13, verse 10, verse 14, fear not. God has chosen his people. God holds on to his people. God will not cast his people off. There is that tremendous encouragement just simply from these three possessive words in this verse. My servant, I've chosen, my friend. The command that is given to us here to fear not because of who God is and what we are to him. When we go back, say, to the New Testament and to the book of Romans, we're told there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 that all things work together for good to those who are the Lord's. And that's, in a sense, the broad picture that we have. The first line of defense against fear coming upon us. We know that all things work together for good. And we take it and we apply it to ourselves. The first line of defense. But this shadow is coming closer. And we now need a second line of defense. And that's what we have here. It's broken down into its components, individual parts. Yes, God is for his people. And here we are told it's individual portions. It's unpacked for us. It's set out for us. This command, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Sometimes we can be looking over our shoulder. Sometimes we can be there trying to identify where the threat or the harm or the danger is going to come to us. Sometimes we can be looking around our feet at the circumstances that we're in. And we're not intimidated, or at least that's what we're told. We should not be intimidated. We should not be subdued by whatever we see on the horizon of life. Our faith lifts us above these things. And that's the distinctive quality of God's people. The distinctive quality of God's people. We've seen it already here in verse 5. When God is at work on the stage of history, where do the idols go? Or where do the people go, rather? They go to the pagans, they go to their idols. They're afraid. And they go seeking comfort and solace where they cannot get it. That same process is repeated time after time after time in our society round about us today. Where danger threatens go, where do people go? They'll go to any kind of stars or spiritism. They'll go to drink. They'll go to drugs. They'll go try this, that, and the other. Simply because they're afraid. But they don't know where to go to meet that fear. God's people are different. There is this faith in them. They have been redeemed, therefore they've got nothing to fear. They've got nothing to be afraid of. None of the sudden changes in our circumstances. None of the developments between nations of this world. None of the surprising sudden turn of events that come to us day after day. Nothing waiting for us around the corner of life, nothing ought to produce this anxiety that is here identified for us. The faith of the Christian is unflappable. No matter what situation we might find ourselves in. Right at the very beginning in the book of Exodus, in chapter 15, God is speaking to Abraham, has spoken to Abraham in chapter 12, given him a great promise. But Abraham is getting old, and the promise doesn't look as if it's going to be fulfilled. And he's a wee bit afraid of what might happen. And so we read in chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. There he is, Abraham. He's afraid that he's going to be childless. And his fear therefore comes down onto the promise that the Lord God has given him and made to him. Is that promise going to be unfulfilled? We have promises perhaps from the Lord. And maybe we can be something like Abraham ourselves. We might not want to lean upon them too hard. We might not want to rest upon them too completely in case they collapse underneath us. In case they are unfulfilled, as Abraham suspected in his own words and behavior. We can sometimes feel that fear. And to counter it, look again at the way in which the Lord, He always supports the command with arguments. He always supports the command with arguments. He says, do this for this reason. Fear not, because. And that's exactly what he's saying to Abraham, and that's exactly what he says to us when we've got a promise in our hand and cling to our soul. God is perfectly adequately able to safeguard, produce, and to protect his promises. God is the one who is able to do exactly what he says. I've used the illustration before of that advert that sticks in our head. It does what it says on the tin. That's exactly the line God takes. God will do exactly what he has said. That's the promise, the assurance that he gives to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Yes, we can think just like Abraham, perhaps, like Sarah did. Humanly possible, it's not going to happen. Humanly possible, the promise is not going to be fulfilled. That's what we might be thinking ourselves. But here we're told, fear not. The Lord is Abraham's reward. That's all that he needs, just to look to the Lord God. And so it is with ourselves, to look to the Lord our God. But again, if we go to Deuteronomy, this time chapter 31. Here we have the situation is Moses is about to die. He's going to hand over the reins of ruling, governing the people to Joshua. And he's going to lead them into the land of promise. And all of that change and the responsibility that comes is intimidating Joshua. And we read there in chapter 31 and verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's the advice and guidance and counsel that's given from a wise old man who's proved the Lord time after time after time. And here he is passing it on to this young man who's going to take over from him. He faces the unknown. He's alone and he's going to do it. How is he going to cope? He's always had Moses there. He's always been number two to Moses, number one. He's always had to lean on Moses and he's always been there in his shadow. But now he's going to be front. Now he's got to be number one. And he's got to lead the people. And he faces the uncertain future, and he's going to face it alone. That can install dread and fear and can intimidate him and intimidates us. And the only thing that can set us at rest, the only thing that put us at peace, is exactly what we're told here. Behold, the Lord is with his people. He removes the fear as he guides them with wisdom, protects them with his strength. Fear not when you face the unknown, Joshua. I am with you. And so we find Joshua stepping out as the leader. And we move forward just into his life, a little bit further into Joshua chapter 10 this time. We find something of the same kind there spoken as to us as it was spoken to him. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 25. And Joshua said to them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom we fight." Here he is, he's leading the people against the enemies of the land, trying to possess the land. Constantly fighting against the persistent and powerful, ruthless enemy. He's alone, he's conscious of his limitations. The Lord's people have to drive these nations out of the entrenched land, rooted in it. How are they going to do it? Sometimes that challenge can intimidate us, fighting against persistent, evil, powerful, ruthless enemies. Evil round about us, evil coming to knock on the door of our life. Again, we have that word from Joshua, "Fear not. For the Lord, yes, he will enable you to knock them out. He will be with you to possess the land." The problem we face of sin within our own lives, fight against it. The problem we've got as we seek to stand for righteousness and what is true and right in our society round about us. When we are subjected to that very subtle pressure to compromise and to come down from our high stance. When we are confronted with the opposition to keep silent when we think and know we should be speaking out. So many different pressures. How do we fight and how do we keep our moral ground? How do we keep our Christian devotion? Don't be afraid to fight that moral battle. Because it is the Lord that fights for you and with you. We have it in Exodus chapter 14, but I want just to take perhaps back to the reading we had there from Deuteronomy chapter 1 itself. The same thing is given to us there. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 21. "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." There was this great land set before them. They were encouraged to go in to possess it, but they drew back and they sent spies. And because of that, they had to wander, and they didn't believe the report the spies brought back, at least 10 of them, and only Joshua and Caleb brought back a good and healthy, wholesome report, but they weren't listened to. And so they were condemned to wander for 40 years until that rebellion had died and been laid to rest in the desert sands. Entering into the inheritance the Lord had set before them. There is that same inheritance set before us as the Lord's people today. There is the fullness of living a Christian life with all of the blessings and all of the privileges the Lord has set before us. Sometimes we can be a bit hesitant. Sometimes we can be a bit afraid to boldly claim what rightfully belongs to the believer. And sometimes we can be intimidated just to hold back in a little measure. God says, "Fear not." so many different situations then in which we can find our own emotions addressed by God. So if that's what he says, the command, first of all, do not be afraid. What are the reasons for it? Why should this be so? And again, he sets it out very clearly and plainly for us. For this, for that. He says, two simple reasons. Fear thou not. Why? Because I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. And again, we've got to take the word order, especially in that one, that first command. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. The way in which it's put down in the Hebrew, it emphasizes it so much more powerfully and plainly for us. Because the Hebrew says, with you, I am. With you, I am. The emphasis coming on the presence of God with his people. He is no distant, far off Lord. He is the one who is interested, the one who's involved, the one who's committed to the good and the well-being of his people. Greater riches than these, it is not possible to possess. There is no more secure place than you and I or anyone we love can be in or be brought to. There is no stronger confidence or peace available for anyone than that which comes from this simple truth. With you, I am. Two simple ways in which, at least there is so many different ways we can break this down, but when it says, with you I am, there is the assurance of God's presence with his people. He will guide us through these strange experiences. We are not alone. It came out there in the verse there, in the chapter there of chapter 43, when there passes through the waters, I will be with you. Not only does he guide us, but he comes through these very things with us, so that fears and anxieties can be removed and swept from our life. And instead, there is contentment which comes from the consciousness of the Lord's presence with us. Remember what happened when those three boys were thrown into the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel. And when they looked, they saw that there was a fourth person there with them in the fiery furnace. And who was it but the Lord, their God, Jehovah. The assurance of God's presence with his people. Especially so when they're going through hard and difficult times. Yes, we can sometimes think that the Lord forgets us. Yes, in these very tight and hard times, in these very dramatic testing experiences, sometimes just in a moment of weakness and of doubt, we let go of our faith and we say like they said in Isaiah 40, right at the very end of that chapter, chapter 40, verse 27, hath the Lord passed us over? Are we on our own as we go through this hard time? And that will never happen. Because you just go forward from chapter 40 to chapter 49 and we're told that the Lord has graven his names, our names on the palms of his hand. How precious we are to the Lord. How precious we are when we go through all of these difficult times. Yes, the pressure and the pace of life might for a moment divert us and shift our gaze from the one who is with us. And when that happens, we begin to wobble. And the only way we can stand firm is by fixing our gaze and our thoughts once again on the one who is with us. With you, I am. Not only that, but we're told here, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. If we have the assurance of God's presence, what does this tell us? But we have the fullness of his character. I am your God. Jehovah God, all the power, all the might as he has revealed himself to possess. The way in which he is there committed to the survival and the defense of his people, no matter what might be coming against them. Graciously, freely, he has given the undertaking to be a God to his people without any restriction and without withdrawing it. You know, today, if you go into the supermarket, you'll find sometimes in the food counter, you'll find best before dates on food. Or again, if you go along the shelves, you'll find use by dates on other things. There's always this limitation, best before or use by. But there is no such limitation on the promises and undertakings that God has given and made to his people. We do not need to look around with fear or doubt and look over our shoulder, simply because God has deployed all the resources of his character around his people. His grace, his mercy, his love. All of the resources of his power and of his might. All the resources of his knowledge. All of these resources deployed on behalf of his people. In the Old Testament, you find that there was this cloud of his presence by day and the pillar of fire by night. Round about them, keeping them safe, committing himself to intervene on their behalf, separating them from every enemy. Yes, the Christian today lacks nothing. We can live, to be sure, and we often do. We can live a meager life. But that's not because of any lack on the part of God. It is because of a lack of trust on our part. A lack of reliance from us on him. We need to take him at his word and what he has promised. And live up to the mark of our Christian inheritance in Christ Jesus the Lord. So here we have it then. First of all, this command, fear not. Secondly, the reason for it. I am with you, or with you I am. I am your God. So just as we close, let me briefly summarize then. What are the benefits and the comforts that are given to us here in this verse? Three of them very briefly. He says, first of all, I will strengthen you. Whatever demands are made on us in the service of God, whatever demands come into our life as we live day by day, whatever might be confronting us by way of our responsibilities, God says here, I will strengthen you. I am equal to it all. Events that might be taxing but are hidden from us, extreme demands upon our resources, testing us to exhaustion in all of our abilities. How are we going to fare? We can be apprehensive, we can be scared. God says, no matter, don't. I will strengthen you. But he goes on and he says also this to encourage us. I will help you. If the first was when we were in a demand made upon us, surely here we have when a need comes upon us. Whatever might be the variety of needs, whatever might be the source of need, be it wisdom, encouragement, comfort, whatever be the need that comes into our lives, God says, I'll help you. It's not a foolish thing. We could take it and dwell upon it just for ourselves. But if you go back to Isaiah 45 again, just to take one simple verse. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 17 we read, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed, not confounded, world without end. It's not, we will never be ashamed by waiting upon the Lord. Whatever be the difficulty we face, however intense or sustained it might be, here we are told that it will not exhaust our God. I will help you. And no matter how long it goes on, no matter how long it goes on, we can wait upon him and he will help us. He will also, we're told, uphold us with his right hand. This is God sustaining us in times of threat, or when we're low, or when we don't have any strength. When we're on the point of stumbling, the Lord will uphold us. You think, you think of a little child just beginning to walk, and the first few steps, and they stumble and they fall. And there is the parent so often standing right behind, just so that the child doesn't see, of course. And the child goes and tries all on his or her own. But all the while the parent is there behind. So that at the moment of weakness, just as it begins to stumble and fall, intervention, and grab hold and sustain and keep. I will uphold you with my right hand. All of the prerogatives of God, all of the resources of God, all of the deployment of the riches of his character as he stands by his people, enabling us to go forward in the Christian life as the foundation for this one command which he leaves to us: fear thou not. Yes, we can go forward from our service tonight. We go out into the world and we live in a society which is hostile to us and to our Lord. We're going to meet so many demands and tasks. We're going to meet so many things. Every one of us, you and I and all of us together, we're going to meet these things. How are we going to cope? The first thing that comes upon us so often is this very one: fear. But that very fear that comes so often upon us is here addressed by the Lord. And he says, when we've made our peace with him, when we're trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, when he is our Savior, he is our Redeemer, when we know that commitment that he's made for our salvation in Jesus Christ his Son, when we've got that in our soul, when we're grasping it by faith in our hands, then we can take all of these arguments to ourselves. Then we can listen to what he says to us. And the foundation on which he builds it, and the strength which it gives to every one of his people when he says, fear not, with you I am. Don't be dismayed, because I am your God. Let us pray. O Lord our God, lift us, O Lord, from the circumstances surrounding us, and may we lift our eyes and fix them upon thyself in the exercise of faith, that thy word coming to us again this night might shed light and strength upon our souls and our life and our living, and that it would be written with the indelible pen upon our memory, so that when we do go forward, and we do go out, and we know not what is ahead of us, Lord, we so often have to take recourse back to thy word again. And so may we be strengthened by what thou hast said and given to us tonight. Hear us, Lord, and keep us safe, and bless us, as we ask it in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. Amen. Perhaps at this point it would be best to make these intimations just before we close. Thanks we have always tonight to all who were involved in the ladies and gentlemen who were involved in the preparing and making that fellowship for last night, to acknowledge publicly the presenting help that Keith gave us, and also the preachers who came ministering on Thursday night, Gordon Martin, and on Friday night, Sandy Sutherland. But with all of these thanks, particularly this communion, as we've had trying circumstances visiting us and the demands coming upon myself especially, our thanks are truly to the Lord for the way in which he has helped, ministered and blessed us over these past days. And what he has given to us, may we remember and hold tight and take with us as we part one from the other. And as we close tonight, in a moment, the Kirk session itself is closed. Let us therefore close by singing from Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and then verse 3 through to verse 7, taking up again the sentiments of our meditation this evening. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good, and so thou in the land shalt dwell and verily have food. Delight thyself in God, he'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, him trusted bring to pass shall he. And like unto the light he shall thy righteousness display. And he thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord, and patiently wait for him. Do not fret for him who prospering in his way, success in sin doth get. Psalm 37, from verse 3 through to verse 7. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.